Bill Feast is a longtime friend of GES. He's not here, but at the national conference, he's a very accomplished piano player. He's really good at music. And at the national conference, he sang a song, and I'd like to, since we don't have any music, I'd like to sing the song. It's a simple song, and it's based upon the book back there, Absolutely Free. And it goes like this. I'll sing it, and then you'll sing it. We'll sing it together, okay? It goes like this. Absolutely free, yes, it is absolutely free. God has given us salvation, and it's absolutely free. Yes, that's your part, yes. Absolutely free, yes, it is absolutely free. God has given us salvation, and it's absolutely free. Yes, okay, you got it? That's simple. So let's sing it together. Absolutely free, yes, it is absolutely free. God has given us salvation, and it's absolutely free.
Yes.
Absolutely free, yes, it is absolutely free. God has given us salvation, and it's absolutely free.
Yes,
there you go. Bill will be glad we did that. And if he were here, he would have played the piano. It would have been just great, but you got me instead. As Sean said, I've got Romans 6. Verses 15 through 23. It's a little long, but let's go ahead and read it. I'll read it starting in verse 15 of Romans chapter 6. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Meganoita, may it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray again. Father, thank you for this time together, for this conference, and thank you indeed that our salvation from hell and the gift of eternal life is absolutely free. And we pray, Father, that as we study these passages, not just this one in Romans 6, but all the passages we're studying here in this conference, that the Spirit of God will impress upon our hearts anew the need to walk in the grace that we've experienced, in the life that you've given us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you were here yesterday, just as a quick summary, you may remember as we look at Romans chapter 5, we started off by saying that now that we've been justified by faith, we have access with God, we have peace with God, and we have an expectation of glory. That was the part that I did. And then Bob talked about the fact that in Adam and in Christ, there's two diametrically opposed ways of living. One results in sin and death, where sin and death reigns, and the other results in righteousness and life. And now the question is, how are we going to live? That's the whole point here. And let me just say, one of the mistakes that people make when they study the Bible, and I kind of hinted at this in Romans 5, is that people think, either subconsciously or consciously, that the New Testament was written simply to tell people how to go to heaven. Which is kind of weird when you think about it, Because 26 of the books of the New Testament were written to believers. Why would I write 26 books to people who are already going to heaven to tell them how to go to heaven? That doesn't make any sense. Instead, they're written to tell us how to live now that we have eternal life as a general rule. Now, the Gospel of John is different, but the book of Romans is written to the church at Rome. Okay, so we would expect that it's telling us how to live. And that's what Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 is talking about. And when we get into Romans 6, as Sean was talking about yesterday, it's, shall we continue in sin? That's the point. Should we continue to live in sin now that we have eternal life, now that we have been justified? Is that what we should do in order that grace may abound? And as Sean said yesterday, the answer to that question is no. Remember who you are. Remember what's happened to you. But the important thing to remember here is that how we live, whether we live in sin and death and under the wrath of God, or whether we live experiencing righteousness and life, it is optional. We have a choice. And we saw that yesterday in the first part of chapter 6. In the part that Sean had, notice in verse 1 of chapter 6, shall we continue in sin? This is an option for us as believers. Shall we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? Look in verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. You have the option. You as a believer can continue to live according to the flesh. You have the option of allowing sin to reign in your mortal bodies and in your life. Notice verse 13. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of righteousness. You can do that if you want to. And so you have the option. Which way are you going to live as a believer in Jesus Christ? And again, that's what this whole section of Romans is talking about. And Sean ended with verse 14. And when he ended in verse 14, Paul makes a statement that we are no longer under the law. Now, Don is going to talk about this. And in chapter 7, Paul is going to talk about this. The law cannot produce righteous living within us. That was never the intent of the law. And so Paul says we are no longer under the law, but now we are under grace. The law cannot free us from the power of sin and death. But that leads to the next question that Paul asks here in chapter 6. If we're not under the law, notice what he says in verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? May it never be. And so what you got here is we're not under the law. And so the question naturally arises, well, if I'm no longer under the law, then can't I just sin all that I want to? Right? I'm no longer under the law. I'm under grace. As Sean was talking about, well, if I sin, then I'll just experience more grace. Paul asks it another way here. Well, since I'm not under the law, then can I just sin all I want? And again, we need to remind ourselves that this is not talking about how a person goes to heaven. It's talking about Christian living. Now, let me just say something here about this. If you are rightly dividing the Word of God, if you are teaching it correctly, if you're teaching it properly, people are going to accuse you of this. I guarantee it. They're going to say, well, you're saying you can sin all you want. You're saying, you know, hey, it doesn't matter how you live. You will be accused of that. And if you go back to Romans chapter 3, verse 8, you see that that's what Paul was accused of. Notice in Romans chapter 3, verse 8, Paul says, and why not say, as we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come. If you preach grace, if you preach the book of Romans the way it's supposed to be preached, you are going to be accused of saying, well, then you can just go out and sin however you want. If people are not saying that about your teaching, you need to reevaluate what you're teaching. You should be accused of this. I think it was Sean who introduced me. I just got back from Ukraine. And I had an interesting experience in Ukraine. I was teaching the Gospel of John in Ukraine. And when we first started off, I pointed out that John teaches us that you receive eternal life as a free gift and you cannot lose it. It's impossible to lose. Oh, my battery's running low. Okay. It's impossible to lose eternal life. And I said, it doesn't matter how you live. You cannot lose eternal life. And I had an interpreter who was talking in Russian. I had no idea what he was saying. And one of the questions was, one of the students said, you're a liberal. A liberal. Now, I've been accused of a lot of things in my life. Every time we have a conference, I'm always accused of being the best-looking speaker. And I'm always accused of things. But that was a first. I had never been called a liberal. And I thought, man, that dude is messing up this. My interpreter's messing up here. You know, I don't know what he's saying to these people. For example, when I was in the Army, one time I applied for a program in the Army, and I had to get a referral from another chaplain. And so I said, would you write this up? And he did. And one of the things was, you had to write something negative about the person that you were recommending. And you had to pick something. It had to be something negative. And so the question is, what is the one thing this guy needs to improve? And the guy wrote, Ken Yates is too conservative. I have never been called a liberal. And so I asked the interpreter, I said, well, what do they mean I'm a liberal? I don't understand, you know. I said that the Gospel of John is inspired by God. It was written by the Apostle John, da-da-da-da-da. They go, they say you're a liberal because they are saying you can live however you want and still go to heaven. I said, I'm a liberal. I said, that's exactly right. If we are interpreting the scripture, that is what people are going to say about this. Now, as we get here into Romans chapter 6, and as we're talking about how we should live, I just want to share with you that when I went to seminary in the 80s, I was taking a book, I was taking the course of Romans. Now, it wasn't a, we didn't go through the book of Romans, it was a Greek class, and I was assigned a paper, and it was in this section, literally it was in Romans 8. And I had to write a paper on this, and as I was taught in class, and as I was reading the commentaries, what I kept reading over and over again, and what I was hearing in class, this was when I was in my 20s, I was young, and what I kept hearing is that if you are a true Christian, then you will live godly. It is automatic. That is what Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 are talking about. And I had to write a paper on this, and again, even though I was young and even though I was stupid and I was reading these chapters, I said, well, that doesn't make any sense to me. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. Because notice in Romans 6, Paul says, shall we continue in sin? And he says, consider yourselves dead. Then he says, walk by the Spirit in chapter 8. And then he says here in verse 15, shall we continue in sin? And I asked the professor, I said, if it is automatic, why does Paul say, consider yourself dead? If it's automatic, why does he say, shall we continue in sin? And it just does not make any sense to me. It seemed clear to me that through all these chapters that what Paul was talking about is that we have the option. We have the option to continue in sin or not. We have the option to consider ourselves dead to sin or not. We have the option of whether we're going to walk by the Spirit or not. Imagine if you're a parent, and I'll go back to Sean's illustration with his son. Imagine if you're a parent and you just said, listen, you don't need to teach your kids to do what's right. They're just going to do it automatically. But that's the way most people or many people come to the book of Romans. And the way they interpret all these passages, they say, well, if you're truly saved, this is what you're going to do. If you're truly saved, you're going to walk by the Spirit. If you're truly saved, you're going to consider yourself dead to sin. If you're truly saved, you're not going to continue to sin. And once again, what we see here is that Paul, and they're looking at all these passages saying, well, this is how we know whether we're going to go to heaven or not. No, that's not the purpose of these chapters. The purpose of these chapters is that we would live righteously. Notice verse 16. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves to obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness? Clearly, Paul is giving us options. He is talking to the church at Rome, and he says you can either be a slave to obedience, or you can be a slave to disobedience. You can either experience death in your life, or you can experience righteousness in your life. And what he is saying that as believers, and again, this is going to become clear in Romans chapter 8, is that we can walk by the flesh and we can experience the consequences of sin in our life, and we can become enslaved to it. It's true for any sin. As an army chaplain, I worked a lot with young men. And one sin that I kept seeing over and over again, and it wasn't just with unbelievers, but it was also with believers, was pornography. And it's absolutely amazing, that particular sin. It's so obvious that you can become enslaved to it. There's a spiral that happens, and I don't understand. That particular sin, it seems to me, is just so clear. I remember particularly in Korea, two of my best friends who understood the gospel of grace, matter of fact, they were deacons in their churches back home, both of them were there before, and both of these men had become addicted to pornography while they were there. They were away from their wives, and this is what Paul is talking about. And now, again, a lot of people look at those two men and go, well, they really weren't saved. Because if you look at pornography, then you're not saved. I hope that's not true, because when they do surveys, they say something like 50% of pastors look at pornography, or whatever the percentage is, I don't know. But what Paul is saying there is we have a choice, and if we choose to walk according into sin or according to the flesh, we're going to become enslaved to that. And it's not just true for pornography, but it's also true for gossip, it's true for greed, whatever the case may be. We can go down that path and we become enslaved to it, and we're going to reap the consequences of it. But again, to say that if you're truly saved, you're not going to do that completely takes away what Paul is saying in this verse. He clearly says in verse 16 that you have a choice to who you're going to serve. We can walk according to the flesh, or we can walk according to the Spirit. Which one is it going to be? And then notice he says, he starts talking about the Roman Christians in the next couple verses. He says in verse 17, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, this was before they became believers, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Now Paul, as Donnie said in the opening section that we had here, Paul had not founded this church, and he may not even have been to this church, but he knew about this church. And what he's saying is that the Roman Christians were not only believers, but they became obedient believers. That's what he's talking about in verses 17 and 18. They were committed to the teaching to which they were handed over. But that was a choice that they had, and they chose to do that. They chose to walk according to the Spirit. Now you go on, he says in verse 19, I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. None of us are going to perfectly serve the Lord while we're still in this flesh, but still there is a way that we can live according to the Spirit in which we're going to experience life. We're not going to be perfectly enslaved to righteousness as long as we're in this flesh. But he says in verse 19, for just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification, or resulting in holiness. Again, in this verse, you see that Paul is commanding them to do that. He is encouraging to do that. It is not automatic. Okay? And again, it's talking about Christian living. Now notice in verse 15, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness." An unbeliever has no choice. An unbeliever is enslaved to righteousness. Or to unrighteousness. An unbeliever is. He's enslaved to sin. But when we become a believer, we've been set free from that power. Remember in chapter 5, Paul says, you now have peace with God. You now have access to God. You've been set free. And now we can serve Him in righteousness. Now again, the problem that you mostly run into when you hear people teach on Romans is again that they don't understand that Paul is given the option of Christian living here, and they think that all these chapters are talking about whether a person goes to heaven or whether a person goes to hell. And that is what we see in verse 21. "Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death." And the way this verse is interpreted is death means hell. And if you go back to Romans chapter 1, where Paul talks about the wrath of God, that's the way they understand it. And so people come to verse 21, and what they say is that if you are enslaved to sin, if you're living according to the flesh, the outcome of those things is death. The outcome of those things is hell. And that's what Paul is talking about, the wrath of God. And if you go back to Romans chapter 5, when it says we shall be saved by His life, they interpret that salvation to be saved from hell. And so all of these verses are understood this way, but that is not what Paul is talking about. When he says, if we live that way, the outcome of those things is death, death there is very, very broad. But it's not hell. If I live according to the flesh, I am going to experience death. That's true for me as a believer. To go back to my two friends in Korea. What happened to them, and one of them in particular, the pornography led to him being unfaithful to his wife while he was over there. It had devastating consequences in his life, in his career, in his marriage, with his kids, and everything. He experienced death. Death can be physical death, but another way to understand it is, Jesus Christ has given me life. He's given me eternal life. When I walk according to the Spirit, if I'm walking in righteousness, if I'm being led by the Spirit, what am I experiencing? Life. I'm experiencing the life that He's given me. But what if I choose to do the other thing? Well, if I'm experiencing life in over here, what am I going to experience here? I'm going to experience death. That's my experience of life. I'm going to experience death. And I just realized I wouldn't even look through the slides. I got going. I'm going to go through the slides just to see, because my daughter will kill me because she did these slides. Let's see if I miss anything. I got a few minutes here. I got going, you see. Oh, I got the wrong thing here. Let's see. I'm way along here. Everything here, I already said. There you go.
Nice to see you.
Yeah. Get a repeat here.
This is review.
This is a review. Sinning involves slavery. This is a choice. Obedience produces righteousness, but it's not hell. You don't need to see these slides. I already said this. Okay.
They're interesting. Yes, they are.
The Roman Christians had made the right choice. See, I was doing this because Sean didn't have slides yesterday, and that was on my mind. It's his fault. They had become obedient believers, and Paul talks about this in Romans 16:19. They obeyed what they were taught after they became believers. They were slaves to righteousness. not a one-time thing. It is not automatic. Sin produces evil. Righteousness produces holiness. The choice is ours. And again, this is what all of Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 is talking about. Sin bears no constructive fruit, leads to things which we are ashamed of. And again, death here is not hell. Matter of fact, we're going to see in chapter 7, Paul talks about the life that he lived when he first became a believer, and he says he experienced or he died. Now, did Paul go to hell? I don't think so, you know, and that's the point here. Unrighteousness, when we walk according to the flesh, our experience is one of death. Unbelievers can only experience this. We as believers have a choice. How are we going to live? So to go back to my guys in Ukraine, they were absolutely right when I was saying that you can live however you want if you are a believer and you're still going to be in the kingdom of God. But you cannot live however you want and experience life. You cannot live however you want and experience the abundant life that Christ has given you. That's the issue. So I'm not saying go live however you want. It just depends on whether we're talking about Christian living or whether we're talking about going to the kingdom. But they interpreted all of this as going to the kingdom, and that's why they thought that way. Okay. Okay. Verse 22, but now having been freed from sin, when we were justified and were at peace with God, and as Sean talked about in the first part of chapter 6, that in Christ the power of sin has been broken, we no longer have to serve it, we are enslaved to God and we derive our benefit resulting in sanctification. And as Zane talks about in his commentary, the word sanctification there is holiness. Now watch this. And the outcome of that is eternal life. Now, once again, here you see why people think he's talking about going to heaven. Eternal life can only mean one thing, and that's going to heaven. But that's not what Paul is saying. Clearly, all throughout here, he's saying you have a choice. If you are enslaved to righteousness, if you walk according to the Spirit, you're going to produce holiness in your life. And the result of that, or the outcome of that, is an experience of eternal life. But he's talking about now. You can experience, you can walk in life. He's given this to you. And that can be your experience instead of death. Go back to my two friends in Korea. I guarantee if you ask them today, what was your experience when you were looking at the porn and you were being unfaithful to your wife for that year? What was your experience? They would tell you it was an experience of death. And if I had to do it over again, I would have wanted to be in fellowship with the Lord and experience life. It's so clear. Now, we can differ in some of the details here, but it's so clear that Paul is not talking at all about, let me tell you whether you're really saved or not. It's crystal clear. And that leads to the final verse. Oh, by the way, this takes us back to the theme of Romans chapter 1, verse 17, where in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation. For he who is righteous by faith shall live." When we walk according to the Spirit, we can truly live. That's what Paul is talking about here in Romans chapter 6. And the conclusion. This whole chapter has been about Christian living. It's not about evangelism. It's not showing people whether they're truly saved or not. But sin always pays in death. Years ago, I don't know if Bob remembers, he gave in one of the conferences, I think it was one of the conferences, an illustration of this verse of 21, the card game. Now, I know we're all saved and none of us play cards. But if we were unbelievers and we played cards, there's a card game that's called 21. And if you don't have 21, if you got like 10, you go hit me. So you tell the dealer, hit me, and you give me another card. When we sin as believers, when we walk according to the flesh, it's what we're saying is hit me. And sin always hits you with death. Here it is. Boom. Have another dose. Have another dose of death. Bob said it better, but that's basically what he was saying. The wages of sin is death. It is always death. It is death for the believer. And again, Paul is, I know that this, remember I said, get off the Roman road when I started in Romans 5. This verse is used for the Roman road to tell people how to go to heaven. They start off with Romans chapter 3. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Then they go to Romans 6. For the wages of sin is death. And the way they say that is, we're all sinners. And what is the wages of sin? Death, which means hell. No. What has Paul just been talking about? He's talking about an experience of life or experience of death for the believer and how we live. Paul says, the wages of sin is death. He's talking about how we live and what we experience when we walk according to the flesh. And it pays you in death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's given us life. And we can walk in life. And we can experience life. Which one do you want to experience? This has nothing to do with telling people how to go to heaven. I remember Donnie in his, and I got to wind it up here. Donnie says that sometime in his introduction, and he's absolutely right, people take verses in Romans, and even though they say something that is true, it's out of context and it's not what Paul was talking about. Here's an example. You will hear people say, the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And they'll say, if we want to go to heaven, it's a free gift. That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. But even though it's absolutely true, that's not what Paul means here in verse 23. And you go, well, what difference does it make? As long as I'm telling the truth, what difference does it make? If I use Romans 6:23 to tell people how to go to heaven, what difference does it make? Here's the difference. They miss the point of what Paul's talking about. If we take this verse and say Paul's telling us how to go to heaven, we miss all the wonderful teaching that Paul has given us all throughout chapter 6. And a Christian hears that verse and he goes, well, that has nothing to do with me because I'm already saved. I don't need to study Romans 6:23. No. If you're a believer, this verse is for you. He's telling you, you can experience life or you can experience death. That's the problem with taking these verses out of context. You can use them that way, but make sure you tell the truth of what the context is as well. When we live righteously, we're experiencing and living out the gift of eternal life that God has given us. All of that is possible because of our union with Christ. We've been set free from the power of sin. Now we can walk in life that He's given us. And no question and answers. Okay. Thank you.